Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, once again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As usual, on tonight is no different. I'm asking all listeners, especially for the first-time listeners, because we do have a lot of new listeners, thank God. Please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the persons of Deacon Marvin Cox as he get ready to bring forth another word from the Lord on tonight. But he always shares with us first an inspirational poem. So he's going to do the same thing on tonight. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Then following the poem, he's going to go directly into God's word once again on tonight. So it's important that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along with him as we go through God's word on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking our listeners, if you will please pray with me at this time, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, it is in his name we come once again on tonight to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you are truly worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. We bless your name on tonight, Heavenly Father, because we know that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, and all power in heaven and in earth is still in your hands. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward each one of us in the name of Jesus. We pray now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, dear mother and constant, his entire family, and every believer in your son Jesus Christ all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because the word lets us know that we all have sinned and we do sin. So that's why we thank God for, we thank you for your son Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, that it's through him that we can be redeemed and be forgiven of all of our sins, and through him and through his precious blood. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, on tonight once again. So now, Lord, we pray and ask you that you will move by your Spirit on tonight. Should there be any listeners that do not know your son, Jesus Christ, who do not have a personal relationship with him, even on tonight, after hearing your word through your man of God, they would be open their own mouth to confess their sins and their transgressions. Even with their own mouth tonight, they would be able to ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight, so they'd be able to come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill that individual God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, because we know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders even today. Even today, Heavenly Father, we ask that you will continue to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved all over the land. Let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And I'm claiming healing for myself in the name of Jesus Christ. For both of my feet, Heavenly Father, I'm claiming total healing, even right now, over my own body and my entire family, individually, and then the corporate body of believers as a family. I'm claiming healing for each one of us, because we know what we're all going through. We're all experiencing different things in our bodies at this time and stage in our lives. But we are still standing on your word that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are already healed. And we're using the name of Jesus Christ and the authority and the power that's in his name to declare that we are healed in his name. So now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you can increase in us, as you, and ask that you would continue to have your way in us on tonight over this worldwide ministry and platform, that you alone will be glorified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, who do the world see when looking at you? Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought, and it's a good question for every one of us on tonight, including myself. But you, my sister, you, my brother, tonight's scripture food for thought is for each one of us on tonight. Who do the world see when looking at you? That's a very good question. Only you can answer that. Right now, again, I'm praying, and hopefully all listeners on tonight, you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, and you're anxious to receive another word from the Lord on tonight through our man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. But as I said earlier, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, as he always does. Then following his poem, he's going to come, go directly into God's word. But we always do a musical selection before we bring forth our speaker for the evening that's going to deliver God's word. So but on tonight, we're going to play for the musical hearing for the music break, because God is so worthy. I love this song, and I'm sure that a lot of you can relate to it as well as you hear it, as it goes on to say in the song, it's personal, I give you praise. Who is to you? Heavenly Father, our Creator, God. I give Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, give you praise. I give you praise. Enjoy the music break.
With all my soul, I give you praise. Holy Lamb. Precious Lamb. So much I owe to you, O Lord. You sacrificed your life for me. Give you praise. I give you praise. I will rejoice.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. I give you praise. Yes, I do. Again, God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, He is worthy to be praised at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we hear or what we feel. We know, those of us that are truly saved in Jesus' name, we know that no matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on in the world, God is truly worthy to be praised. And that's why it's so important that we give him the praise that he's so worthy of and so honestly deserve. So right now I am ready to yield this mic over to Deacon Reverend Cox. And once again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along with him. Deacon Reverend Cox, I now yield the mic to you, Deacon Reverend Cox.
Amen. Once again, it's my greatest pleasure and my greatest honor to be able to bring forth God's word to you. You know, I keep telling you that it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility, and it's one that I don't take lightly. The Lord has prepared a wonderful supper for each and every last one of us tonight. And that lesson is, and the poem is, our best-selling book. Your life is the material for a best-selling book. Turn the pages, peep inside for a much closer look. There's mystery, drama, and comedy too, and a wonderful love story inside of you. There's triumph, tragedy, victory and defeat. These are the chapters that will make your life complete. You being born is truly a reason to cheer. The odds were 1,000,000 to 1 that you would make it here. The death-defying illness that you overcame makes you a candidate for the Hall of Fame. Taking your first steps when they said that you wouldn't walk. Speaking your first words when they said that you couldn't talk. The jokes you played while you were in your youth. The spanking that you received by not telling the truth. In your teenage years of how you came of age. This is getting interesting. Now let's turn to the next page. your first bicycle, learning to skate, your very first crush. Your parents said you'll be grown up soon. There's no need to rush. Friends or loved ones die. You get into a fix. All of this happened in chapter number 6. All of this happened. Okay, excuse me. The agony you went through was beyond belief. The trauma, the depression, the heartache, the grief. What about the joy you had when you walked, when she walked into your life? Then a few years later, they became your husband or wife. The children that followed, the houses, the cars, the people you meet, the celebrities, the stars. Joining the church, uniting with God's Son, realizing your journey into eternity had just begun. Overcoming obstacles that once blocked your way, giving thanks to the Lord by learning to pray. Now you may think your life is boring. Please take another look. Your life is the material for a best-selling book. Amen. Now we're going to go immediately into tonight's lesson. Tonight's lesson, we will be read to you from the King James Version of the Bible, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse number 3, and it reads, verse number 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. I've just read unto you from Timothy, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Amen. Now, our topic for tonight is strong delusion. And it's pertaining to, it said that men will not endure sound doctrine. And if we look at sound doctrine, if we look at men not enduring, we know that now is the time. And see, I want to inform you now, I say, for the time will come. But I want you to know that that time is now. That time is upon us. And normally I try to stay away from topics that point fingers directly at their people, but this is pointing the finger directly at us, because that time is upon us that men, let's say they, so whoever they are, I could be they, we could be they, but it's pertaining to God's people, say that they will not endure. So we look at sound doctrine. We know that sound is a derivative of the Hebrew word, which means hygienist. We know that hygiene is health. We know that is a healthy thing. So we know that if you were to break that down, that particular phrase down, it's just telling us that right now men, women, boys and girls, teachers and so forth and all will not endure healthy understanding. They will not endure healthy doctrine. Why? Because God's word says so. And all you got to do is look about you. Just turn on your TV or look outside, and you know things are not going according. They're going according to the way God planned it. But if we look outside and turn on the TV, we see that it's worldwide chaos because of the things that's going on. So I'm going to expound upon, it said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. As I said, that time is is right now. That time is staring us in the face. Men, women, boys, and girls are doing things that it says like it's no rhyme or no reason why they're doing the things. And if you ask them next week or the week after next, well, why did you do such and such a thing? Why? I don't know. Because it's becoming unexplainable. It's getting to the point where people are randomly doing things. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves. So we're turning away from the word of God. We're pursuing the lust of our own flesh. We have distanced ourselves away from God. It says, they heap to themselves teachers, which we all, in a certain capacity, are teachers, having itching ears. Now, let me explain what the itching ears is. The itching ears is when a person has turned so far away from the word of God, they no longer allow the word of God to rule and govern them, and they begin to fish for and look for compliments and look for things to boost up their own personal ego. You know, in other words, they're looking for somebody to pat them on the back and go along with their foolishness. They say, and their ears turn away from the truth. So if I keep on hearing that I'm such, he's a jolly good fellow, then I'm going to continue to believe that I am a jolly good fellow. I'm going to stop thinking of what God's word said or what individuals in God's word said, that what Brother Isaiah said. I stand before you, Lord, and I'm just paraphrasing it. Rest and undone. I keep forgetting, and I will look away from that. Why? Because of that strong delusion that I have in my mind. Now, let me explain to you what a delusion is. A delusion is a belief or altered reality that's persistently held, despite evidence and agreement to the contrary. So I'm searching after my own truth. I'm looking for things that I want to be. In other words, what this is saying to me is that we are living in an alternate reality. We got so far from the truth that alternate reality, that delusion, and it also pertains to mental illness, but that's for some. But I'm talking about those that are a sound mind, once again, healthy mind, who are choosing to make up, or if you look at your government, these conspiracy theorists, these people that are bringing forth conspiracy theories with no evidence, and it says delusion contrary to the evidence. So, and we look at God's word to say, so thinketh the man in his heart, then so is he. So if I continue to think and to believe and dwell on that I'm something that I'm not, in my heart and in my mind, I am going to become that which I have imagined myself to be, and not that which God told me that I am, that I'm a sinner. Saved by grace, I'm going to place myself above all of these things, all these rules and regulations that God have brought forth. Why? Because I'm thinking I have placed myself above God. And they said that they shall turn into fables. Now, these fables are, and I would say, how can a person turn into fables? It's very easy. Why? We become a conglomeration of untruths. And fables are untruth fairy tales. They are old wives tales. They're not backed up by no type of scientific nor spiritual evidence. Just like they said with those urban legends that people have become. You hear things, and then as you, the more you hear, the greater that one particular thing becomes. And then it wouldn't be so bad, but it becomes contagious. And it's contagion, it began to affect other people, say teachers, having itching ears. So if you find me out there fishing for a compliment, I want you to please tell me, Dean Cox, you're not enduring sound doctrine. If you find me out there looking for somebody to pat me on the back, or you find me being conformed, in other words, you find me going along with things that I know is against God, this is not sound doctrine. If I have turned away from the truth, I turn my ears away from the truth and have made my own personal reality, my alternate reality, then it avails me nothing. So we have to be mindful of all of these things that is going on and that's going on in our government, that's going on in our homes, that's going on our jobs, that's going on throughout our families. So there's no way that we can escape this. The only thing and the best way to remedy this is stay in God's word. Because God's word, what it say, what will the Lord do? He will lead you and guide you unto all truth. Not fables, not fairy tales, not folklore, but the truth. So my brothers and my sisters, I implore you, I beseech you, I beg thee to stay in God's word, because men are not enduring sound doctrine. I mean, if you look at, you know, these political things that's going on, if you look at the same people that have been hired to serve and protect us that are doing us great bodily harm, if you look at the same people that we chose to rule and govern us and make decisions for us, these people are boasting. It said the time will come when men will boast about a lie and they will frown up at the truth. And those times, as I say, these times are now. And that's one thing I love about God's word. It will give you a forewarning of all things. It will let you know what's happening before it happens. Because there's been many times when we have ran across situations and the Lord told us about something, but we did not at that particular time verbalize it. And that same situation happened the same way that the Lord told us that it was happening. But see, we get no credibility for that particular act. Why? Because we didn't tell the people. When somebody tells you something's going to happen, and then it happens as the way they said it happened, or a prophet would to pull your coat about something. I'm just using a slang expression, but if a prophet was to prophesy to you and gave you advance notification about an event that was about to take place in your life, or an admonishment for you to avoid this or you to avoid that, and then it happens in the same way in which that individual told you, then you know that it's God's word, because it's easy to after prophesy. Say, I knew that was going to happen. Maybe so, but it's time now to endure sound doctrine. It's now the time to get our thoughts back to being healthy, for us to lean and depend on the Lord, and not to pretend that we love the Lord, not to use his utensils as a prop or something like that. Now is the time for us to dig down deep within ourselves and turn to the Lord and ask the Lord to take us to that place that we need to be. So that strong delusion, see, that strong delusion, it originates in the hearts and the mind of men. It originates in the heart and the minds of women. And so it's a way to combat that. And the way to combat that is to stay prayed up. Because when negative things happen to us, we begin, guess what? We begin to think negatively. we begin to think of things in a bad way. We take our focus off of where it should be. We become deluded because we go into that alternate reality that I just spoke about, and we begin to make that which is real or that which is unreal in our hearts and our minds. Guess what? We make it real. We begin to dwell in that alternate reality that I was just telling you about not long ago. It says, altered reality that is persistently held despite evidence. In other words, it is proven to be false. But see, that time has come. That time is now where men do boast about a lie, and they do frown up at the truth. You want to make the biggest enemy? I tell you, you won't make no enemies nowadays by lying to people. But if you want to make an enemy, just tell somebody the truth. Just tell them that the wages of sin is death, and see how many turn away from you. See how many won't have anything else to do with you. Won't will discontinue their fellowship with you. So it says the latter part, what verse number 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned to fables. So those, wow, thank you, Lord. So what the word is telling me, if you turn it to a fable, there's no other way to look at it than you become, I become, we become, they become, she become a living lie. Because people will listen to what is pleasing to them, which flattered them instead of reprove their way of life. They become involved in many errors in their doctrine, and they substitute all of these fables for the great and eternal truths of God. Now, have you ever made a cake or something, and in the process of making that cake, you didn't have no butter, so you use margarine, and at that time, that margarine turned out to be a pretty good substitute. And then after a while, you begin to keep that margarine in there, but guess what? The cake was not. The cake lost its flavor. And so this is how we do, how we substitute things, how we become that living lie. Why? Because we have substituted God's word, and we have turned it to a living lie. We have turned ourselves into, the word say, a reprobated mind. We have abandoned the opportunities that the pure gospel has presented us. So these delusions, strong delusions, and one thing I want to speak about, didn't mention it, but strong. See, when something is strong, it can lift heavy things. When something is strong, but see, if you think about something that's strong, something that is strong has the ability to overpower. And the process of it overpowering, then that means that it dominates all those that comes up under its control. So this strong delusion, it overpowers your logic. It overpowers your reason. And if you allow it, it will overpower your spirituality. And I've got to be careful when I say that, but I'm going to say it. I said it overpowers your spirituality because we are no longer enduring sound doctrine. We are heaping. When you heap something upon something, that means that you really land it on thick. That it is more than what that particular thing has the ability to carry. So we have to be careful because that strong delusion is existing. If you turn around and you look and you try to incorporate solid truth into your life. Because see, this not sound doctrine. People will not want to hear the truth, not being able to bear the hearing of the truth. Now, have you ever been in the presence of someone and you told them the truth, and as I said earlier, they don't even want to have nothing to do with you? They feel that your things are idle, useless, unprofitable to them. Why? Because they've been exposed. They feel that this has no benefit to them, because and it really doesn't, but it does. Because the truth will always be of a benefit to anybody that hears it. Because at least one thing they will know, whether they make adjustments to adhere to the truth, at least they'll know it won't let me continue thinking or believing that what I think or what I feel is correct. So these mythologies and these folklores and these old wives' tales and these urban legends that we have led ourselves. And if you notice, I said led ourselves. Didn't nobody force us. But then the contagion that follows these things, how it jumps from one person to another. And see, this is where it gets interested at. Because, see, when it does that, then we become, and as I said, if you look at your TV, what happens is that it creates mass hysteria where everybody is clinging on to that untruth. Everybody is supporting that untruth. Now, I don't know about you, but that really sounds like something is going on here. It really sounds like it's turned into a disease. It's the COVID-19. You know, where you just breathe on somebody and they embrace it, and they support you in that. Before you know it, this person got it. Before you know it, that person got it. Before you know it, the momentum of the whole situation, and we don't know what to believe. Do we believe the truth? Do we believe what this person say? Do we believe what that person says? But see, that's the object of strong delusion. Because, as I say, it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts in my mind. And what am I willing to accept? What am I willing to, what steps am I willing to make in order to rectify that situation? Now, let me tell you what Brother Isaiah says about this. Men will not be able to endure sound doctrine. And it's just what I just said. It's Isaiah, the 5th chapter, the 20th verse. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now, let me explain something to you about that word woe, W-O-E. Now, I would hate to see that in front of my name or in front of an advertisement that pertained to me. Because woe means certain doom, unavoidable doom. See, these people will have doom. That's unavoidable. As we study and we find out what that woe means, we find out that you are destined for a real serious comeuppance. As I say, certain doom, it's unavoidable. I don't care what you do, it's certain, you just can't avoid it. And Isaiah is telling us, I say, woe unto them. And if you notice, all the things that Isaiah was talking about were the opposite. Bitter for sweet, light for darkness, good for evil. So I have lost my evaluation of what the truth is. I have no concept of what the truth is. Why? Because my ears are itching for compliments. I'm fishing for compliments. I have put myself in a position that I'm expecting for you to support me in my wrongness. If you don't support me, I'm going to bash you. I'm not going to have nothing to do with you. You're no longer my friend when you tell me that I'm wrong, when you tell me that I shouldn't be doing the things that I'm doing, when you tell me that what I'm doing is contrary to the word of God. So Isaiah, he warned us, and it's a strong warning. It's a strong warning that woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And the reason I say that, and I'm going to give you an example. Some people condone wrongdoing. They know that the person that they seen their friend or brother or sister with was not that person's husband or wife. But they was hugged up and kissed up and everything. And what comes out of that person's mouth? Well, it ain't me, and I don't see nothing wrong with that. Now, isn't that calling evil good? Isn't that called darkness light? Isn't that making sweet bitter? So to say, people looking for someone to support them in their wrongdoing. Why? Because men will not endure. Men will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because these are the individuals that are looking for a fan club, looking for somebody to rah-rah and cheer them along the way. And you have some people that go along with it. Now, Romans 1st chapter 32nd verse tells us that those that find pleasure, and I'm just paraphrasing, those that find pleasure in them that do wrong say, you don't have to do it. All you got to do is just go along with it and find pleasure in it, or smile about it, or don't see nothing wrong with it. At the end of that verse, it says they are what? They are worthy of death. So we're putting ourselves in a very precarious position by condoning things and not speaking out against it, because I'm telling you, if I'm doing wrong, I want the nearest person to slap me back to reality. I might tell them, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing, but that truth that they told me, if I give it an opportunity to marinate, because see, one thing about it, that sometimes the truth will not extricate us from our wrongdoing. It'll make us like a Pharaoh. It'll make our heart wax a little bit colder. It'll make us a little bit more determined to continue on the course that we didn't take. But when things begin to happen in the way in which God will direct us to, and we realize I was wrong, I made a mistake, and that opportunity, because God is fair, he'll give you a chance to repent. But if he turns you over to a reprobated mind, that's almost like saying, hey, it ain't no hope for this brother. This sister is so verbatim in her foolishness that even the angels in their authority cannot. That's like when the rich man and Lazarus, when the Lord told him that the gulf is so wide that even the angels in their authority couldn't travel across that. Now, you don't want God to shut down the angels on you. He don't want God to tell the angels, say, well, you know, the brother Johnson or Sister Smith is in trouble. You don't want God to turn it into a movie on you. Mission Impossible. No, you can't go. You can't, you know. But Lord, no, you can't go.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, as I say, we have to be mindful. Mindful of these things to the extent that God is only going to tolerate it for so long. Now, I'd like to go to 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verses 11 through 13, and see, to show you that I'm not just saying this. I'm not just trying to recite things, okay? It reads, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Hold on a minute. So that they will believe what is false in order that they all may be just who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Wow, I want to stop right there. So this thing that's going on since, okay, now, have you been in a situation where, say, okay, nah, I'm not God, but I can imagine God. Say, okay, well, since you don't believe me, believe this guy right here. Believe all the, I just told you the truth, okay. They turned two brothers out into the street over there in Thessalonians and said that the streets will teach them. So if you don't believe me, parents do it all the time. Okay, since I'm telling you the truth and your head is still hard, I'm going to let the streets teach you. I just hope and pray that the streets don't kill you. So it says, hold on, wait a minute. Let me see if I got this right. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Well, look about you, my brothers and sisters. There is a deluding influence among us. I ain't going to mention no names, so I won't have to share the blame. But there is a deluding influence among us. And people say, and it says that, so that they will believe what is false. Mm-hmm. Now, how many people do you know that right now will support a lie in order that they all may be judged who do not believe the truth? So our options here are extremely limited. Either we're going to believe and we're going to practice what the Lord told us to practice and believe, or we're going to be led astray by this deluding influence. Now, when I read that, that kind of like blew me away. Who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Wow. Now, if we go back to Romans 1:32, it says, don't have to do these things, but find pleasure in those that do these things. And that individual is not only do the same, but they're worthy of death. So if you find pleasure in wickedness and you think that this stuff is funny, all right, now, it's way out now. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. So remain steadfast. Don't allow these things to get up under your skin. Do not submit to lies. Do not allow unsound doctrine to dominate your life. And I tell you, it's not easy. Because if it was easy, then we could fight those things off. But see, we got this spiritual warfare that's going on right now. And spiritual warfare is not easy. Because why? Because we're going to have a tug of war. Why we're going to have that tug of war? Because my mama on the other side, my brother on the other side, my sister's on the other side, my best friend is on the other side. Those that is around my heart, my daughter, my son, all of these people that occupy a space around my heart is on the other side. But Revelation tells us, and I'm not calling none of these people what I'm about to say, but Revelation tells us that in the end days, that whore will be standing in the door and she will be beckoning. Hey, come here for a minute. Can I holler at you? Why don't you check this out for a minute? So we have to be careful, because there's nobody that can grab your attention like somebody that is real close to you. Mm-hmm. These are the things right here that trap us. Because if we go back to Job, when he was going through his dilemma, and his wife was speaking out of turn, and she told him, and it was quite a few reasons why she told him that, but she still didn't have no business to say that. She told him, she said, Job, now during prosperity, you can imagine, I said, boy, boy, we hit the lottery again, Job. Ain't God good. Boy, we got a good God. But then when things and adversity came to visit them, she took herself out the equation. She said, you know what? I hate to see you going through all this kind of stuff, but you know what you need to do? You need to cuss God, cuss your God now. And this is what happened when adversity come. We disown those things that we owned once before. She mm-hmm. said, why don't you cuss your God and die? So, see, adversity makes us denounce the Lord. And we got to be extra careful. And so getting back with this delusion, this strong delusion, see, this overpowering delusion, this relentless delusion, it's all around us. We have to rule and govern ourselves in such a way that we cannot allow it to creep into our psyche. Now I'm going to go over here to Micah 2:11. It said, if a man walking after wind and falsehood had told lies and said, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be spokesman to his people. Now see, they said, walking after the wind. Wow. Well, the Bible really has some fantastic sayings. I'm walking after the wind now. So wind and come and go, I'm just walking after the wind. I will speak to you concerning wine and liquor. So that individual at that particular time has your attention. And if you notice, when people get your attention and you become a captivating audience, you might think there's some validity to those things that they're saying. Okay. Now, Isaiah 44:20 says, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. And he cannot deliver himself nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Wait a minute now. I don't know about you, but I don't think ashes is any type of nutritious meal. I don't think it's, I really don't. I know that when drug overdose people come into the hospital, I know that they give them charcoal for it to absorb those drugs, but you know, I think there's something wrong with an individual that feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned them aside. So this is a brother or sister that's the lost day evaluation of their caloric intake. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't. You know, I don't see no nutritional value from it. I don't see a person gaining weight. I don't see it like other foods do. I don't see it making nobody's eyesight better. I don't see it doing none of those things, but feeds on ashes. But I know one thing, it gives them a dirty mouth, if nothing else. Now, Romans 1:28, it says, just as they did not see it fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a reprobated mind to do those things which are not proper.
Okay. What
it says, they did not fit to acknowledge God any longer. See, once again, to denounce God, to acknowledge, not to acknowledge him anymore, to put distance between you and him. This is all part of that strong delusion. Now, if anybody feels that they don't need God in their life, this is a self-deception. And it's time for us to quit deceiving ourselves, quit deluding ourselves. As I said, that when I read to you when I first started about that delusion, it's living in an alternate reality. against all the evidence that is letting you know that what you're living, what you're believing, what you're thinking, what you're practicing is a lie. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's up to you. It's up to you. The choice is yours. And if I were you, I would ask the Lord to remove this strong delusion away from me, because it's almost like hypnotic. And once something becomes hypnotic, what it does, it puts us in a trance. So it's further yet I could go, but I just thank God for this. Thank God for the privilege of your time to bring these things to you tonight. And just look about you. As I say, I ain't going to mention no names, so I don't have to share the blame. But nowadays, people are not enduring sound doctrine. I say, the word said the time will come. I'm telling you that that time is here. So I thank you. May God bless you, and they may ever keep you. And I now turn you over back in the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that powerful word for such a time as this that we're living in on today, that we are experiencing like never before. And I'm like you, but I'm going to go a little bit further. And the Word of God tells us that we are to pray for our leaders. Not only are we to pray for our pastors and our shepherds that watches over our souls and prays for us, but we are to pray for our world leaders and our government officials. We are to pray for them as well. And this is what the Bible says. This is not something I made up. The Word of God says that we are to pray for our leaders. And God knows exactly what he was saying when he said that. He didn't just say it just to be saying it. He knew what the world leaders was going to be experiencing. He knew what the pastors that are truly called by his name and have been anointed and appointed for such a time as this, for those that are truly standing on his word and teaching and preaching his word and being living examples and epistles of his word, even in today's world, God knew what they were going to experience. So that's why he said that, you know, as Christians, that's why I would let the world know and remind everyone that, yes, we are our brother and sister's keeper. We are to pray for one another. We are to encourage one another in the words of the Lord at all times. We are to pray ye one for another. The song says, and the song that I've been playing, it says, pray for me. And the part of that song says, it's an urgent request. And if that wasn't a true statement, as a true statement like never before, for these are the times that trying men's souls. If there was ever a time that we needed the Lord, we need him now. So we thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for delivering that powerful word on tonight that lets people know that, you know, sometimes we can have strong delusions, and that's a trick of the enemy. So we need to get back to God's word, our first love, go back to first love. And we need to continue to pray and lift up each other in prayer, constantly pray for one another, constantly encourage one another in the words of the Lord, not our opinions and not our personal feelings, but what thus said the Lord. So once again, I do thank you, my listening audience. Again, this worldwide ministry and platform is steady growing, and I just give God the glory and honor and praise for it, because it is still marvelous in my eyes. I had no idea that it's growing in the masses in the way that it is growing, but I just give God the glory because I know that God opened this door, and it's all for his glory. So I just thank God for allowing me to be a part of it, for you, the listening audience, to be a part of it, and for every guest that comes forth sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and delivering God's word over this worldwide ministry and platform. I thank God for each one that has come forth so far. And next month will be, Lord be willing, 7 years of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ over this worldwide platform. So again, it's nobody but God, and it's marvelous in my eyes. And the best is still yet to come. And I thank God for you, the listeners, that are faithfully tuning in. Continue to share the worldwide his ministry and audience to your friends and neighbors. Let them know they can tune in and be blessed by it as well. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, your Son, Jesus, we come in his name once again, giving you the glory, honor, and praise for who you are on tonight, Heavenly Father. We love you. We bless your name. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you are the Most High God. We thank you that you are not like man. You are a promise keeper. You don't get an amnesia. You are a promise keeper. You remember your word. You're a faithful God. So we bless your name on tonight. So we thank you that there's nothing too hard, nothing too impossible for you to do, because with you all things are possible. We thank you for your word and promise that lets us know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment thou shalt condemn in Jesus' name, and that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are our healer through your Son, Jesus Christ. And by his stripes, we are already healed, we're delivered, and we're set free, even on tonight. So now, Lord, we ask that you to continue to comfort and strengthen the bereaved all over the land. Continue to move by your spirit as your word goes forth over the airwaves, even on tomorrow, through social media, that souls will be saved through your men and women of God that's going to deliver your word on tomorrow all over the land, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word is our prayer in Jesus' name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that it still works and it will never lose its power. And we thank you for your promise, Heavenly Father, that once we're in your hands, that nothing and no one can pluck us out. So for this, we are grateful as well. So we give you the glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name, and we just give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, no listening audience, that I thank God for each one of you. I do not know who you are personally, but thank God he knows who you are. And he is a promise keeper. He will continue to grant you the desires of your heart. So continue to be blessed with the Lord. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.